Anybody? No? Okay. Well, welcome. Good morning. My name is Justin Faniff, and I am the children's pastor here at River Run. And whether you're here or joining us online, welcome. So glad that you are here. So I'm really excited to be able to be here on Father's Day and chat with you guys. But before we kind of get going, I know that some of you are going, I'm going to have a really hard time listening to you wearing what you're wearing. So I want to address it. In River Kids, we're doing Sunday Fun Days, and we have a different theme every week. And so, of course, this week we are dressing like our dad. So this was my dad in the 80s, roughly. It's about what he looked like. He had a little bit more hair. Love you, Dad. But now, you know, fashion is circular, right? So these are, I've seen these a lot more coming back. And kids are like, we're cool. We're like, yeah, like 30 years ago, right? So now that you've had a chance to kind of just drink this in a little bit, we're going to pray and get going, okay? God, thank you so much for today. We're just so grateful to be in your presence and to be able to learn from you. And I pray specifically that you would just speak through me, Lord, that I would kind of get out of the way and that you would be able to just speak what you desire to tell us this morning in your word and in our lives. And we're just so grateful for that opportunity. So allow me to just get out of the way as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so happy Father's Day to the dads out there. And as you look at this image here, for some of you, you might automatically have like a thought in your head that went in your head, or as you were kind of getting caped, you know, earlier, you might have had like kind of a feeling or a thought that's going on in your head. And so as you look at the world, as we want to kind of look at the world, I want to paint a couple pictures for you, and these are things that you probably are aware of, all right? When you look at the world and you see the way that dads are kind of portrayed, okay, you have the big grandiose kind of versions where you've got your, you know, your Avengers movies and your big heroes and the big hero movie type things. And so the guy, the dad, the man has to be the super strong, outwardly physical feats, like that kind of thing. But it also means that he can't really show emotion. He's got to be really strong in that way too, because if he shows emotion, then there's a crack there and people could take advantage of that, or, you know, something to that effect. The other kind of picture that we see a lot is kind of the bumbling dad in pick your favorite sitcom or sitcom you watched growing up. And you kind of see how a lot of times the dad can kind of be a punchline during the episodes of that show. And so we look at this and we go, okay, so this is the way that, you know, kind of pop culture is portraying this position in the family. And so because of that, that's a lot of what people are seeing. And so what we want to do today is push back a little bit on that, and not in a way of like, hey, get off my lawn, okay? But really in a way of kind of going, if we can do this day in and day out, not perfectly, but if we can really grasp this day in and day out, honestly, no matter what position we're in, I know we're talking about dads today, but really of any position of influence that you have. And whether you know this or not, you have influence in your life. If you are a mom, if you are a dad, if you are a grandparent, if you are an aunt, if you are an uncle, if you're a friend, if you're 8, 12, 50, 30, whatever, like you have some kind of influence in your life. So how are you going to use it? And so as we look at the strength that the world sees in a man or a dad or a mom or a grandparent or whatever role you might be in, and we all have several roles throughout our lives, what we want to do is we kind of look and kind of do a little bit of a paradigm shift and go, you know what? If we can all be a group of people, whatever role that we're in, and we're carrying out what we're talking about today, then we, without having to yell, get off my lawn and be that guy yelling at clouds, we get a chance to subtly infiltrate the culture in the way that God desires for us to influence. And as we're talking about today, influence our kids. So one of the ways to kind of do that, and I love this because these are just great handles for us, is to look at these culture statements that we've been going through the last 5 weeks. Okay, and so I really quickly just kind of want to run through those just as kind of a review, because it's going to give us a handles from where we are in our lives as well. So first off, we looked at our first two kind of were dealing with our relationship with God, right? And so we want to talk about how we leverage our whole life to know God. Leverage your whole life to know God. And the idea there is no matter what's going on in your life, great milestone, amazing thing, or a really hard thing that's going on, how is God shaping me? How is God using me? How is God speaking to me in this moment so that I can know him better? Not just know about him. Knowledge is one thing and it's good, but really truly know him in a relationship, right? I can know about somebody, from other people or what I read about them. But to then actually know them in a personal relationship, things change, right? And so how can we leverage our whole lives from where we are to know God? And along with that, how can we make the most of what we've been given? And yeah, we talked about, you know, gifts and talents are a part of that, and that's a great thing, and he has absolutely gifted us with those things. But what we were really talking about, what Caleb was talking about a few weeks ago, was this idea of the things that we don't always think about that he's given us. That he's given us the Holy Spirit in our own bodies, in our own hearts, that can guide us and lead us in heavenly and our heavenly Father's wisdom, not our own, and his grace and his love and his truth, not our own. Right? And so we can tap into that. We can tap into prayer, which is that regular conversation we're able to have with God at any point. At any point, we have that gift. We have that ability. We also talked about the scriptures, right? We have this, the living, breathing word that God has given us that we can go into, right? And we have ways that we can help you to process this because it's big and it's confusing sometimes and it's weird at times, right? And so how do I then take this on to whether it's my kids or a friend or a family member or whatever? How do I do that? And we've talked about Emmaus Ministries and some of the paraministries that we tap into that can really help you guide in that. So making the most of these gifts that we've been given. And then we moved on and we looked at, okay, well, what about our relationship with others? As we start out with our relationship with God, now we kind of move into our relationship with others and we see how God takes strangers and makes them family, right? Whether it's in a situation like this or even in other situations, right? Groups that you might be a part of where you met that person, right? And I didn't know them very well or at all, like 2 weeks ago or a month ago or like 2 years ago or whatever. And now you guys are doing life together and you're friends and you're enjoying each other's company. God takes strangers and makes them family. And then we realize that moving closer to God means moving closer to people. That's a hard one, right? People are hard, right? But what you see is that when you move closer to God, God's saying, yes, you need to work in that relationship. You need to repair that relationship. You need to strengthen that relationship, whatever it may be, right, with this person or that person. And so we see that. And then how do we impact the world? And what we were talking about just a little bit ago with Nate was saying, generosity changes lives, right? Generosity changes lives. And we absolutely believe that. And we've seen so much evidence of that. And I hope that you've seen even just small examples in your life. And then finally, and hugely, if I can use that word, there's nothing better than helping people know Jesus. There's nothing better than helping people know Jesus. And the reason that we kind of start out with this is because now what I want to do is I want to take it and I want you to go, here's the beautiful thing about these. You can grab onto these with a handle no matter what position you're in. No matter what position you're in, you can craft this to where you are. So, for example, I can take leveraging my life to change or leverage my whole life to know God. Yep. And it can be leverage being a dad to know God. Leverage being a dad to know God. Leverage being a mom to know God. Leverage being a friend to know God, right? So wherever you are, you can take that moment and say, okay, in this moment, how can I then move this on to my kids? How can I know God more by interacting with my kids, right? Or we can make the most of what we've been given as a dad, right? We can make the most of what we've been given as a dad, as a mom, as a friend, as a grandparent. Whatever role that you're in, you can take these things and move them to where you can then see, okay, in this role that I have right now in my life, I can use this. I can make the most of Scripture. I can make the most of the Spirit guiding me and trying to listen for what he's guiding me into. And I can you know, use prayer and those kinds of things to guide me in being the best influence for my kids that I can be. All right, in my case, as a dad. All right, but whatever your role might be. Then as we get into our relationships with others, God takes strangers and makes them family. Literally. Right? Like, your kids were born. That's a stranger. You're like, who are you? I don't have a manual for this. Is anybody, hello, can I help somebody, right? You don't know who that is. This is a stranger, right? And now, no matter what your kid, whoever it is as your kids, however old they are, you can tell a lot of specifics about them. You know, their favorite color, their favorite likes, their favorite dislikes, you know, whatever it is. You can tell any of those things with your kids because you've built that relationship with them. But at one point, technically, that was a stranger, right? Moving closer to God moves me closer to my kids. Moving closer to God moves me closer to my kids, right? myself as a dad, if you're a dad or you're a mom or you're a grandparent, whatever it may be, right? When we move closer to God, we build and strengthen our relationship with Him. It then moves us closer to how can I then give this same relationship that I have with God or move this same relationship that I have with God? How can I show my kids that? And how can they then begin to build that for themselves as well? Then we see that generosity changes my kids' lives. It doesn't just change my life. It doesn't just change other people's lives. Generosity changes my kids' life. And we love what's going on. We love what we're doing, and we want to continue to do it more and more and more in our community as a church family, impacting our community and everything like that. And we absolutely love it. But it also happens within your own home. The generosity you have with your words, the generosity you have with your time, with your kids. We talk about it all the time in our baby dedications that we do with brand new families, or you know, maybe they've had a new one and second or third one, whatever, but we were saying, listen, here's this baby at the very beginning. How can we then strategically influence their lives? Because as families are built, whatever your family looks like, the people that have the most impact on that kid have the most strategically influenced position for your kids. A lot of you might know that my wife and I are adopting a young man right now and looking to provide him with a forever home. And if you don't think, it's been, like, to say that it has been amazing to see the church family come around us and impact this child's life who's going to get to have a forever family, because a lot of the things that you out there have done, both here and if you're watching online, you guys have been absolutely amazing. Generosity has 100% changed Morgan and my life. But if you don't think it's changed my kid's life, I don't know what to tell you. For sure it's changed. It's already changed their lives. And yeah, it's going to change their life permanently in the way that they're going to have a brother for the rest of their life. That's one sense, sure. But in another sense, they're seeing how this church family is coming around their family through generosity. And it's for sure changing their life. And then there's nothing better than helping my kids know Jesus. There's nothing better than helping my kids know Jesus. When you have kids, you are then the most strategically placed person to influence their lives for this. There's nobody else. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But when you have kids, you have the most ability to do that. You are the most strategically positioned. Now, that can be scary, for sure. That's why we exist as a church family, as River Run, and even more specifically, that's why we as River Kids exist. We want to partner with you. We want to help you. We want to encourage you. We want to give you tips and tools and all of those things to help you, to help guide your kids. Because we believe that parents and guardians, whoever are the primary people raising kids, because I know a lot of different things can happen in life, but if you are the primary one raising kids, that's where the primary discipleship comes from. But primary doesn't mean alone, and we want to be there with you. So I want to move into some scripture here to show us what we can do to truly be heroes. We talk about being a hero and what the earth and the world kind of thinks, but what does it really mean to be a hero in God's eyes? What does it really mean to be a hero as we follow Christ? What does that look like? So in Ephesians 6:4, and a lot of you might have heard this one. It's one that gets used a lot for dads. But you could fill in any role there. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipleship and instruction that comes from the Lord. Okay, fathers, mothers, grandparents, friends, you can fill in your role there. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from me. I think that would go terribly overall, right? In the end, I might have some good words, but in the end, that's going to go poorly. No, that comes from the Lord. The best thing that I can do for my kids is point them to God. Point them to their Heavenly Father, the one that is the perfect example of a father. I'm not. I don't want to be, by the way, either. Okay? I'm going to crack under that pressure, 100%. Already have. Right? So we want to point them to the Lord. And we have to realize that inward comes before outward. God wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. if we are pointing ourselves to God, then that is aligning our hearts to him. And in turn, we then want to do the same for our kids. It's often true and the same in the fitness world, right? I like to do fitness stuff and everything. And what you'll notice is in order to have the physical stuff going on, whether you're running or whether you're, you know, lifting weights or whatever it may be, swimming, you know, whatever your sport or whatever you like to do is, what you're going to find is in order for the physical to happen in the way that you desire, like you have these grand goals and things, in order for you to reach those goals, what do you got to do long before the physical part? You got to get right here and right here, yeah? Because if I'm on mile whatever and I want to get to mile fill in the blank, I'm having a battle up here long before, right, before I finish, because my mind is going, this hurts, I don't like it, please stop now. And you got to push through that, right? You got to push through that and you got to fight, or you're lifting weights, whatever it is. And in the same way, we have to work on our hearts and we have to be truly giving them to God in truly open hands and truly open in order to have the strength, different from the world as they see strength, to not only align ourselves to God and overcome our difficulties, but in order to lead our kids in the same way. Now, I do like that recent years, there has been an uptick in conversation about being mentally healthy and emotionally healthy. I think that's fantastic, and I really like it. And they get almost there, right? They get almost there because then it's this idea of this inner strength that you got to have, this inner strength in order to overcome the mental and emotional issues that you might be struggling with. But what they don't quite get to is that being connected to God is our strength. Being connected to God is our strength. Our faith in him is where our strength comes from. Because my strength, even inner, is going to fail 100% of the time. It's going to fail 100% of the time. It's not going to work. I have to be in with God and have my faith in him, trying to grow it, not perfect, but trying to grow it each and every day. So that is where my strength is driven from in order to interact with the world and interact with my kids. Because as I said before, there's that piece of like stoicness where I don't have the emotion, right? I have to be the rock or the pillar for my family. But what we lose in that a lot of times, especially in the way the world like says the men have to be, or they kind of portray it a lot, is that if I'm this rock and this pillar, then guess what my family is interacting with? A rock and a pillar. To me, that sounds like a pretty one-sided conversation. Hello, Rock, how are you? Right? You're not getting a response. I guess unless it's the Rock, but that's a different thing. So that's not the image of God. At the end of the day, remember, we are created in the image of God. And while a lot of times we look at the outer piece of that, what we don't think about is that the inner piece is just as true. If we want God to change our hearts and give us his heart, that includes emotions. God has emotions. And if we're trying to deny those or just go, no, those are over there, then we're cutting out a whole piece of what God desires for us. We have to embrace them, but we have to embrace them in a healthy way, realizing that God is still where the strength to move through those comes from. And the people that he's put around us. Because when I have that, guess what? It moves me closer to people, as one of our culture statements is, right? And when I move closer to people, I begin to see, oh, there's other dads that are struggling with this too. Even if there's other dads struggling with even saying anything. They're silently struggling. But when I move closer to people because I'm moving closer to God, I begin to see that, oh, there's more out there that are struggling with admitting those things, admitting faults, admitting struggles that they're having, or dealing with really hard things like on today for some of you. Having lost a dad, or as a dad, having lost a child. Nobody is saying that's easy, and nobody is asking you to be a rock and a pillar through that. You can't be. You can't be. So what I want to do, as we said, being connected to God is our strength. What I want to do is I'd like to enter into a segment called reading. And I'm going to read through this little segment here in Mark 9, starting in verse 17. So if you have your Bibles and you'd like to go there, it's going to be on the screen as well, or your app, you can go there. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll kind of get into it a little bit more in detail. In verse 17, it starts out, it says, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, he's talking to Jesus. Jesus has a crowd around him. I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently into the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. So going back to verse 17, here we see a dad. We literally, in this case, see a dad, right? And he's struggling with something, I'd say, pretty major, right? Hopefully none of you have to deal with something quite like this, but there are things that we've for certain struggled with in our life. How do I guide my kids in this way? They're having this struggle. I'm having this struggle with them. We're having this struggle together, whatever it may be. How do I guide them in this? So he's tried some few things, we can imagine. It tells us about one of them, right? That he tried it with the disciples. It says, one of the men spoke up in the crowd. It says, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He realized, I can't do anything about this. So what did he do? He brought his son to the one who can. In our lives, there's going to be plenty of things that we don't know what to do with and we can't fix it. But we absolutely 100% have the ability to take them to the one who can. Next, it says, the spirit sees him, you go to the next one. And Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? He says, you faithless people. Again, our strength comes from our faith in him. He didn't say, you guys are physically weaklings. Emotionally, you guys are terrible. That's not what he said. He said, you faithless people, speaking directly to the heart. Guys, you gotta have faith. I've been telling you this whole time. Turn your hearts towards me. Give me your hearts. Have the faith. Because when you have that faith, next piece, when you have that faith and that belief, anything is possible. Anything is possible. And there's so much more in that than what we see cross-stitched on a pillow at grandma's house, right? Like, that is powerful. Anything is possible. But it really means we have to have given our entire lives and our entire heart to Jesus. Because what you see before this, right, was that the disciples couldn't do it. They hadn't arrived. They weren't all the way there. They're still learning. They're still trying to figure this thing out as well. And finally, the father instantly cries out, I do believe, but help me overcome my belief. Is that not the most human statement ever? Right? How many of you have been in that situation where you're like, I'm saying the same thing that you're saying. I agree. But tell me what you're saying and what you think just so that I can make sure that we're on the same page. Right? Right? You've been in those situations, right? And it's the same idea. Here's a guy, I do believe. And it's not that Jesus is saying that you don't. You're saying, I do believe. But I got some questions about a few things. And God says, okay. Great. Bring them to me. Let's talk through this. I do believe, but I have some doubts that I'm really struggling with. Okay, that's fine. Bring them to me. Just like your kids. They come with sometimes the most ridiculous questions, right? And you go, okay, let's figure this out. What we see is a dad who's not perfect. We see a father who's not perfect. We see a parent. We see somebody in a role of influence who is not perfect. And so he brings his son to the one who is. So what we need to begin to see is that it is not outward strength. It is not the strength from ourselves and what we see in the world. And it is not even the same definition of strength that we tap into. we need to tap into the strength that God desires for us to have, and that's His as our perfect Heavenly Father. So real quick, I want to show us 2 Corinthians 12. We walked through this for the first 13 weeks of the year, but the Apostle Paul is writing to a church, and he started this church. All right, he's friends with these people. He has relationships with these people. So this is a very powerful moment that he's talking to them about. And he says it, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, this as he calls it, his thorn in his side. And it doesn't explain exactly what this is, but he's had a struggle all of his life or a lot of his life, and he's asked God to take it away, and he hasn't. Each time God has said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Next part. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in my insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Strength for you and me means knowing that all, not some, not a little bit, all of our strength comes from God. That's where it comes from. A faith in Him, turning our hearts to Him with open hands and saying, God, I'm struggling. I don't know how to do this. I'm suffering. I don't know how to do this. I'm weak. And He says, thank you for telling me. Let's do this together. I'm here for you. That's when we become truly strong, because we're not using His strength, we're not using our strength anymore, we're using His. And when we do that, and we are the most strategically positioned person, no matter what role we are as the primary raiser of these kids, we are now the perfect positioned people to lead our kids to build the same relationship with Jesus. Because to be a true hero in our kids' lives, we have to help them build a relationship with the real hero, and that's Jesus. To be a hero in the way that God desires, to be a hero that is far greater than the heroes we see in pop culture, we have to look almost pretty much opposite of that and go, I'm not perfect. I'm broken. I don't have all the answers. God, I need you. I need your help. It is okay if your kids see you as a hero. That is great. That is amazing. Do you know why? Because you now have that influence on them. And you get a chance, like this dad, like it says in Ephesians, to then point them to the true hero that is going to sustain them for the rest of their lives and give them the strength in their lives as they grow, the needs that they have. Because we're not perfect, but He loves us anyways, and He wants our hearts. Last night, just to finish up real quick, I was tucking my daughter into bed, and it's her birthday today. And so last night we had kind of celebrated with some extended family and had a great time, I was putting her to bed, and she was crying. And I was like, baby, why are you crying? What's wrong? And she looked at me and she said, Daddy, everyone is celebrating me, but I don't deserve it. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And she proceeds to list off a list of things that she'd done wrong over the last few weeks, some of which she thought we didn't know about, but we're parents, so we knew about them, right? But she was looking at me and saying that she didn't deserve to be celebrated because she was bad, because she'd messed up. And in one sense, my heart broke, but in the other sense, I thanked God for that beautiful moment, because I was able to look at her and say, baby, it doesn't matter how many times you mess up. It doesn't matter how imperfect you are. You're celebrated because you're loved. No, we don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. We've all messed up. We're imperfect. But God celebrates us because he loves us. And he just wants our hearts. And if the truth of that radically changes you, we have the opportunity as dads, as moms, as grandparents, as friends, to do the same for our kids. We're going to sing a song here that says, "You have my heart. You can have my heart." And my prayer for you is that as we sing this, or as you just listen to the lyrics, that it would become true for you. That you would just say, "God, take my heart, it's yours, because I want to have that influence. I want to be that hero in my kid's life, not for the sake of being the end goal hero, but to point to the true hero, to take that influence that you're giving me and to point you to the one who is the true hero." Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for your love for us, for your son, that you would send him knowing we don't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. But that's how much you love us, that you would send your son as a ransom sacrifice. And we are so grateful for that. And I pray as we sing this song, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that hearts would be opened, and that we as a people would say, "We're yours. Give us your heart, Lord, so that we can then begin passing your heart on to others." I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.